Mothering Sunday.
If I can go on to lapel, please, John. It is 4 years since I've spoken at the all-age Mothering Sunday service. In the middle of that period when I haven't spoken, there was a sabbatical, and then last year there was no Mothering Sunday service. So it is a joy to be with you today. Now, I am going to get you doing various things today, okay? You aren't physically going to move, but I'm afraid the 2 meter pole with the microphone's there for a bit later. And I am going to ask you from time to time just to turn to someone, and I recognize there may be some chairs between you if you're sat on your own, but just to share things. And I want to kickstart us, considering that reading, with a question. Have you ever kept praying for something you were desperate to have? Have you ever kept praying for something you were desperate to have? Just for 1 minute, with the person you're next to or nearest to, please share what was the thing you were desperate for. And if you need to move just slightly closer to do it, but keep socially distanced. Go for it. 1 minute. Share with the person next to you. Okay, that's it. That's it. I'm going to stop you. Back you come. It's going to be today a case of sharing. And in a sense, the more honest we are with each other and with God, I think we're going to go on a bit of a journey. 2 years ago, as I've mentioned, I was on sabbatical, and I remember coming back and there was that map on the wall at the back of the church. And I was due to travel to Germany and Poland, except I was going in February and March. March, February, Poland. Really, really cold and loads of snow. And I can remember praying before I went, Lord, please may I get to the place I want to, because I realised the weather could have intervened at any point. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And in the end, I prayed myself out. You know, when you prayed enough, it's like, okay, I'm going to leave it now. I need to leave it. And the funny thing was, is I saw piles of snow in places I went to. I was even once caught in a snowstorm. The red car you may recognize as ours, that's literally 2 miles away from Auschwitz. I got snowed on, but the weather actually didn't stop me doing anything. And I was so grateful. I prayed and prayed, and God answered my prayer. In our Bible reading, God has answered Hannah's prayer. Hannah desperately wanted a child. She had a husband called Elkanah, who had another wife as well. In those days, monogamy didn't have to be followed. So Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah, one was Peninnah. Peninnah had a number of children. Hannah had none. Year after year, the family would go to where the special place was to worship back then, a place called Shiloh. And Hannah would pray every year for a baby. 1 year, we're told, her prayers were so desperate, it looked like she was drunk. She was almost incoherent with emotion, but God heard her prayer. And our reading starts with Hannah has a child, a boy, Samuel. Right, George. George is on the mic today. Your first question with the socially distanced mic. Samuel has, it's a Jewish name. It's got a very special meaning. Do you know what it is? It's a really important name. What does the name Samuel mean? If you know, pop your hand up and George will come with the socially distanced mic and poke it in your face. Oh, he's off down the back.
It means, for this child I prayed.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
For this child I prayed.
Yes, for this child I prayed, it says. It's quite an interesting one. Samuel's one of these things which is a derived name. She said, for this child I prayed. Quite often, therefore, the word Samuel is translated, God's heard me. Or even I've heard it translated, someone from God. Hannah knew God had heard her prayer. That's what she says. Thank you, Jackie. She calls her son Samuel as a result. We'll come back to what happened later at the end of my talk. But for now, I want us to think about prayer. This morning, we're going to think about prayer. A question for you. Does God always give us what we ask for in prayer? What is your experience? And George, on the mic again, I want us to be really honest. And I don't mind whether you're older or younger. Does God always give us what we ask for in prayer? What is your experience? Go on, George. A little bit of sharing, just for a minute or so. Be really brave. The braver we are, the more we'll get. Peter over there. Sorry, on the balcony. I did say to George that he's not going to run up to the balcony. We'll be here for the whole service.
It depends. Sometimes God answers our prayers and sometimes he doesn't.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Thank you, Peter. Angie, down here.
If we pray according to his will, I believe he answers us, but we might have to wait a long time. I've also experienced that when I've prayed and prayed and prayed against his will, he also has answered, and I've borne consequences.
That's interesting. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? One more. Paul, down there, please.
I believe he always answers, but it's not always what we want or what we've asked for.
Yeah. Three really good answers. Thank you very much, guys. And I want to explore that now, because I want to explore this whole business with a little prop I have. Oh. It's a traffic light. And I am going to explore, does God answer prayer? Let me put it onto manual mode. This is where I wish I had better eyesight. Manual mode. And I don't want it on that one. I'm going to start on green. Okay? I want to start on green. There are three ways God can answer our prayers. The first way that God can answer our prayer is yes and go. And I want to explore a little bit about what Angie said in a bit as well. Sometimes God gives us what we want when we ask for it. Okay, back to where you're sitting now. I'd like you to share with your neighbour, when was a time when God answered a prayer of yours with an immediate green light, okay? So just with your neighbour, no need for that one, George, for the mic for today. For 1 minute now, share with your neighbour, when did God give you an instant green light? Go for it. Okay, I'm going to call you back. Sorry, it's no bigger. That was the best I could get, apart from nicking one. Okay, so this is the best I could get. So I'm sorry it's a little small, but I will bring it round so you can see it. It definitely changes rather nicely. Like the very, very best earthly Father, Father God loves to bless us. And he will give us things sometimes that will delight us. Jesus once said to his disciples this. I want you all to read this together. Can you read that? Let's read this together. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a wonderful quote. It's one of those bits of the Bible go back to sometimes in prayer. If you doubt that we have a Father who wants to give good gifts. God knew Hannah so well. He knew Hannah wanted a child. He knew what was best for her. And Hannah's relationship with him was strengthened as a result of the gift, as we heard. When God says yes and go for us, it's usually, and I mean a quick answer, it's usually for something good. It's because we prayed for something which is often in the Lord's will, exactly what Angie was saying. And I think it's good to ask ourselves when we pray, is this prayer going to help me to get to know and love the Lord better? Is this prayer going to bless other people? Is it going to help other people? Or is this just very selfish, actually, and it's just to make me feel good at this moment? That doesn't mean you're always going to get a yes from God, and I'm going to come back to that very quickly. It may not mean that you'll get a yes from God ever for your prayer. Some people long for children, as Caroline said, and never have children. But prayers which are motivated by love are more likely to fit well with the purposes of a God who is love. And remember also, we have to be sensitive. When we get a green light which says go, others often are facing the red light. So in the joy that we experience of go, we need to be aware for others it may not be so great. Well, sometimes though we don't get green, do we? We get something else. Sorry, that's that last bit. We get something else. We get amber. There you go. We get amber. It's a bit like God is saying to us, hold up, wait a bit. Not yes and go, but wait a bit. Not yet. Not yet. Sometimes what we ask for is good. But now's not the right time, and God knows the right time. We've got to wait. And waiting can make you impatient. I'm a very impatient man, as my family would share. When I want things, I'm not good with patience. I might wear this collar, but I'm still not often good. Okay, George, up on your feet. Now is not the right time for God to say yes. We may need to wait. So when have you had to wait for God to answer your prayer? If you'd like to share, be brave, because I think we can all learn. If anyone would like to share, pop your hand up. When have you had to wait for God to answer your prayer? Go on, Caroline.
When I prayed about becoming a lay reader, I was still working full time for a company. And so it didn't happen. And then I got made redundant. God answered my prayer. It's a strange way of answering it.
Fabulous. Did you catch that? Caroline had to wait to become a lay reader because she was working full time. And then God made her redundant. Well, God didn't make her. The firm made her redundant and God used it. Isn't that awesome? So God answered the prayer, but it was a wait first. Thanks, Caroline. Anybody else want to share? Go on, anyone else feeling brave? Yeah, fabulous. Jackie at the back there. Bless you for being brave and sharing, because it helps us all.
When we wanted to move to Horsham, and we were ready to sell our house, and to move here, and to move to St Mark's, and we had to wait 13 months before it all fell into place. But it did, and it's wonderful.
Bless you, Jackie. House moves are a pain, aren't they? In so many ways, very rarely does it go smoothly. That is lovely. I'm going to move on. God often makes us wait, though. Why does he often make us wait? Because he wants us sometimes to learn something. There is learning to be done in the waiting. We met Hannah at the point in the reading when God's answered her prayer. The baby's arrived. But that wasn't the first time she'd asked. She'd asked over years. But God eventually answered her prayer. God had said to her effectively to begin with, wait a bit, which was really hard and painful. Wait a bit. But it wasn't a meaningless wait. Here's a question for you. And again, George, I'm sorry, back up on your feet. How did waiting for a child change Hannah's prayer? Hannah's prayer eventually was not the same as it was to begin with. She asked for a child, she asked for a child, she asked for a child, but eventually she asked for a child and she said something really important. Her prayer changed. Anybody know? Do you want to go for Michelle at the back down there for us, George?
She would dedicate him back to God.
Yes, thank you. She said to God, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. The waiting changed Hannah. Thank you, George. In verse 11 of chapter 1, it says this. Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Waiting changed Hannah. It changed her. It was no longer, I'll have a son and I'll bless him and hold on to him and I'll look after him all my days. It'll be, if you give me this, I will give him to you. She was prepared to give any son that God gave her back to the Lord. Much of life, my friends, is in the waiting. In fact, there's far more waiting in life than there ever is yes and go. We spend most of our life waiting. Again with your neighbours for 1 minute. What are you waiting for now? What are you waiting for now? It may be a prayer request. It may be something more general. Just for a minute. What are you waiting for now? Share with your neighbour. Please. I think for me there is the trivial waiting. And I think there is the serious waiting. The trivial waiting, I'll be completely honest with you, is I want my bacon butty down on the south coast at my beloved cafe. And trust me, after the 29th of March comes along, I've been very obedient. I have not been outside the local area. But when the 29th of March comes along, Very quickly, I will hotfoot it down to the south coast. Other establishments are available. That's at a trivial level. Slightly deeper level, it's Mothering Sunday. I've seen my mother once since Christmas 2019. Once. I've seen her on Zoom, and I've seen her age. I want to see my mum and dad. This year they will be 89 and 86. A year at that age is a long time. Other things I'm longing for? Oh, I'll be really honest with you, I'm longing for a holiday. Lockdown's hard, and I bet you are too. I'm longing actually as well, and you might find this a bit more difficult. I'm longing to see new people come into our parish. So much has been talked about the housing estate, and I don't like to see the green fields go either, but I'm longing to meet the new people that come and to do the stuff that we were charged as a church to do now nearly 5 years ago. It's all been waiting. It's all been waiting. But waiting is a place where you can be changed. Waiting is a place where if you allow yourselves, you can encounter God. Whatever you are waiting for, commit it to the Lord in prayer. And I hope you are encouraged by hearing this today. May you meet God in your place of waiting. But sometimes it's neither go nor wait, but inevitably, there you go, stop. No. Oh. Stop. No way. Sometimes what we're asking for in prayer is something that is just not good for us. Although, as Angie rightly said, beware sometimes persisting in that prayer, because sometimes God may give us actually what isn't good for us if we persist in our own way. We might not know that what we're praying for isn't good for us, but we have to trust that God knows. God sees the end from the beginning. Maybe it's not that what we're praying for isn't good, but God's plans for us are infinitely better. Infinitely better. The famous American evangelist Billy Graham used to talk about all the women he'd have married if God hadn't stopped him until he met the wife he did. And I think that's really important. I've heard Nicky Gumbel on the Alpha course talk about jobs he'd have gone for and things he'd have done if not God had stopped him. And now think about the ministry that goes on at Holy Trinity Brompton, Alpha being just one part of it. Sometimes God's plan for us is just better. It's just better. We may not want to hear stop and no, but we need to trust that the Lord knows best. A no doesn't mean that God's any less loving. A no doesn't mean God's any less generous. A no might just mean he really does know best for us and for others. Let's be brave again. By the person we're with, just for a minute, if you're able to, can you think of a time when God said no, and maybe when it actually worked out for the best because he said no? Does that make sense? Can you think of a time when God said no and it worked out for the best? Just share with the person by you. Okay, I'm going to draw you back. Guys, if I can draw you back. There are times in the Bible where God says no to someone's prayers. And they're some of the most important points in the Bible, actually. We're talking about no to us, but actually let's take it into the Bible. When are there times, sorry George, when are there times in the Bible when actually somebody's praying or intending to do something and God says, no you don't, stop, no. Let's have a go. Chris over there. Yep.
David wanted to build a temple.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch. Beg your pardon,
David Chris. Wanting to build a temple to the Lord.
Yes, very good. David wanted to build a temple to the Lord, didn't he? And God said, no, it's going to be your son that's going to do that. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? Oh, we've got loads more. Do you want to go for Helen and then for Angie? Other Angie, don't worry.
Another Old Testament example is Moses not being allowed to go into the Promised Land.
Yes, Moses not being allowed to go into the Promised Land. Spot on. Moses was not allowed. We've got the disobedience of the Israelites and Moses did not go in. Angie, did you want to say Angie over there behind Mike? Yep, with the hand there, yep.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul asked for healing for something which he felt was a thorn in his side.
Yes.
And God said, no, my grace is good enough for you.
Fabulous example. Thank you very much. Yes, Paul asked over and over again that the thorn in the flesh, whatever it is, would be taken from him. But it didn't. It remained there. And God, as you rightly said, was my grace is sufficient for you. Any more? Go on, Fee.
I was thinking of Job trying to get away from God by getting on the boat, but God had other plans.
Yes. Yeah, we did Jonah the other summer, didn't we? And Jonah wants to get away from God, and actually he can't. But I think the most famous example in the Bible, forgive me, Jesus received a no. We're heading towards Holy Week. We're heading towards Holy Week. We're only 3 weeks from Easter. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed and prayed, Lord, please may this cup of suffering be taken away from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And did the cup of suffering go? No, it did not. And praise God that it didn't. It is because God said no to Jesus Christ that we are where we stand today through Christ's suffering and resurrection. If God says no to us, we must trust him, we must follow his lead, and try not to control it. And as we see no, sometimes what's really painful is others have got the green light. I want to do this. I want to do this. You say no to me, but others are doing what I want to do. It's not fair. Actually, God deals with us individually. And if others are able to do things you want to do, but you can't, celebrate with them. God does different things in each of our lives. Maybe no for us. Maybe yes for someone else. Let's go back to Hannah. Hannah's thrilled to have her son Samuel. She waited till he was old enough. In our passage, the word used over and over again is weaned. And then she fulfilled her promise. She'd made this promise. She'd said that, Lord, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you to serve you all his days. That's what she did. She took Samuel back to the temple in Shiloh. She gave him to the old man there, Eli, who was the priest. And Eli took care of him. And that was a really good move for the people of Israel. Because Samuel was to be an extraordinary man. Israel's teacher, Israel's faithful leader. He served God all his life. But it started with a wonderful answer to prayer and then a woman people forget about who honoured her vow. Which leads me to my last question. Sorry, George. So when God answers our prayers, how should we respond? Go on, go for Jan over there. So when God answers our prayer, when it finally goes green, how should we respond?
You should say a huge thank you.
Too right we should. Thank you very much indeed. With gratitude. Our answer should be huge gratitude. Today's Mothering Sunday. And this story in part reminds us of the privilege and gift of motherhood. I love that image I found of five generations of mothers. I think it's in Australia, is that? Five generations of mothers who are alive in that photo. But I want to say to you, we're not all mothers. Some of us, because genetically we're not. But every single one of us can be those who mother others. Every single one of us. Whether we're male or female, we can mother others. We can love others. Whoever we are, we can show the mothering nature of God to others. So today, yes, we give thanks for the gift of children. Yes, we give thanks for the gift of mothers. But our thanks need to be offered to God too. Hence Mothering Sunday. Just as Hannah thanked God for her son. And let's finish with a broader picture of what I've been talking about. I've been talking about prayer and how God answers prayers. And finally, how Hannah gave thanks to God. I am absolutely certain that in our lives we've had loads and loads of answers to prayer which have helped us and have helped other people. But sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm very guilty of rushing on to the next one. I don't actually stop and I don't say thank you to God for answering this prayer or that prayer. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so now. The Lord has blessed all of us in different ways through things he's given us. And I'd like to close in a prayer. And in the middle of the prayer, I'm going to pause. And in that pause, wherever you are, just say what you want to say thank you to God for. Be brave. Let's speak out our prayer all together. When I was at theological college, they called it Korean prayer, because in the theological college I trained in, there were loads of students from South Korea, wonderful people. And when we had Korean prayer, everybody prayed at the same time. And it was beautiful. They prayed in their own language too. It was beautiful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in a prayer. And when I get to the pause, I'm going to say, you offer your thanks. Are we up for that? And you speak out loud for about 20, 30 seconds your thanks, then I'll gather it up again. So let's pray. Let's pray, I should say, sorry. Lord, thank you for all you've given us in our lives. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for our children. We thank you for those who've cared for us. We thank you for those we are blessed to care for. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for making us stop at times. Thank you for making us wait. Thank you, Lord, that you always know the best way. Now let's offer our words of thanks for whatever you want to thank God for, just for 20, 30 seconds. Speak them out loud. That every good and perfect gift comes from you. May every single one of us live with thankful hearts. Amen.